Everybody have their chart? Does anybody have their chart?
Chart?
I want that chart.
Where's mine?
Well, if you weren't here yesterday, you don't get one. Here. I have two of them here if anybody wants one. Gary, you better have one. You want one, Justin? Who else? Here if anybody wants one. I want those extra ones back, though. Because you'll just leave those at home, too. All right, we talked about the different apprehensions about who kills it, who it atones for, and all that. Today we're talking about the disposition of the blood, fat. We'll talk about the disposition of blood last because it's most important. Now the fat represents the general health and energy of the offering. Its being burnt to God was the appointed proof that the victim offered was more another example of his perfection. And so when you look here, you'll see that in the higher offerings, the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it was always burned. For the offering for the soul, when it was just the female lamb or kid, there's no mention of it. With the turtle doves, there's no mention. With the flower, there's no mention, obviously. And it's the whole idea of seeing less and less as you go through the apprehension or the lack of apprehension. What happens in the lower grades is it's the failure to see that Christ's offering of himself. How can I say it? It really has to do with the sense of well-being, no matter how you physically feel. It's if you can apprehend that he was offered by one offering and you've been perfected forever, then no matter how you physically feel, no matter what conditions you're in, then you understand that by his offering you are still perfected forever. You understand that?
The word perfected jumps out, doesn't it?
Well, perfected just means fully tested.
Yeah,
it's teleos.
And part of that is not falling away when you feel bad.
Right.
I feel bad, so the gospel must not be so.
Well, you feel like you've been forsaken. And so therefore you don't see that your life is to be given away. You're still holding on to your life. As remember, as he is in the world, so are we. And as the apprehension becomes greater, then all these other things become as automatic as breathing. When you see little, you'll give little. When you see nothing, you'll take. A little bit of understanding? All right. Now, in the highest grades, we see not only the fat is burnt on the altar, but we see a full description of every part. In other words, you see the fat on the caul and the fat on the liver and the fat, every part of the inner being. It's even fuller apprehension. Of no matter how you feel, no matter what your situation is, you know that everything is perfect because you have been perfected by that one offering. These petty judgments stop. Everything, the more you see of him, the more like him you will be. Remember, as you see him, you shall be like him, for you shall see him as he is. And the clearest place to see him is in the offerings. Amen.
I was thinking fast, like you have everything you need and then some.
It's like, oh yeah, it's the much more that we studied in the trespass offering.
Good type.
Well, the scriptures say it's the fat that covers the inwards and all the fat that is upon the inwards and the fat that is upon the kidneys. And so, I mean, it's like it represents that no matter what situation you're in, you are still perfected by that one offering. You don't always try to escape the situation you're in. You don't lean on your own arm of understanding. You rest in Him. Well, now you are complete in Him. By one offering, He has perfected you forever. We have the mind of Christ. As He is in the world, so are we. And all of those incredible scriptures depend on your apprehension. And your apprehension depends on the depth of your repentance. Anybody? Now, in some of the subsequent offerings, you'll see the fat, and the subsequent grades, I say, the fat is burned, but the inward parts are not seen. In the last grade of the animal sacrifice, the fat is totally unnoticed. The atonement for sin is at least partially understood, but the perfect acceptability of the victim, and therefore your perfection, is not understood or not seen. There's always something wrong. You never have enough. You keep trying to change yourself. You keep trying to do something about something. And it's because you don't see the fullness of His offer. Now this is so counterintuitive to anything that your mind can comprehend that it's almost meaningless gibberish to your mind. What difference would it make and how and where the fat is burned and what's the disposition of the body and what's the disposition of the blood? That's just, well, who cares? That was back then. All right, you understand the disposition of the fat then and what it means. All right, the next one is the disposition of the body that we're going to look at. We're not going in order of the things. We're going in order of what I perceive as the way to apprehend it.
Yeah.
This is important. In the higher, look at the disposition of the body. And for the bullock, it's outside the camp with the details, with great details of the skin, the flesh, the legs, the dung. Outside the camp with the detail fading. And the next one is, and then it's not seen. And finally, in the last one, there is no body. Now, it's outside the camp. That means this thing, this body, this all the skin and the bones and all the inward parts and all that, they're burned outside the camp. Now, what does that mean to us? It finally means that you can understand that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And you stop trying to use your mind to understand even heaven. So let's go through it. For the priests, with the anointing of the sacrifice of the bullock, it's outside the camp. There's great detail of the skin, the flesh, the head, the legs, the inwards, even the dung. For the congregation, bullock, it's still outside the camp, but the details are fading. And so when you look at the law, you'll see that clearly when you read the law. For the ruler, which is the denominations, it's no mention of the disposition. For the common people, the female, kid, is sacrificed, there's no mention of the disposition. No mention of the disposition. No mention of the disposition. No mention of the dispensation.
You're saying dispensation.
Disposition, I'm sorry. And finally, that's because I hate dispensation. Finally, when it's just the flower, there's no disposition of the body, but part of that flower is burned and part is eaten by the priests. And again, all this has to do with how much you understand that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, and how much His perfection is your perfection. Where the sin offering is fully apprehended, all of the flesh is cast out. We bear His reproach outside the camp. We know no one after the flesh, not even Christ.
Is this guy like right to left or left to right? Or is that an issue? Because on the first one, everything's done outside the camp, but it's done with detail, and it seems like it has an apprehension factor.
No, the apprehension is always on the left-hand side.
So once you've apprehended and seen that, then you don't need it. It fades.
Right. Well, no. You're looking at it wrong. Every person will see something. Every person that names the name of Christ sees something about the sin offering. But in the higher grades, they see everything about the sin offering. So they know that's flesh and blood. They don't try to gad about to change themselves. They don't judge others' flesh. You know no man after the flesh, not even Christ. In the lower grades, you're judging everything. But it depends on apprehension. The ideal is the one offering for everything. Then you see. Then you know, you can understand in great detail how that by one offering you have been perfected forever. That's the purpose of the detail, but if that were the case, then you wouldn't need all these.
What about the ones that are not seen? Why are they not seen?
Because they haven't repented. Apprehension is based solely and completely on repentance. The less repentance, the less seen. The less seen, the less apprehended. Especially if you try to understand it with your mind. You can't believe the confusion when I first read Leviticus. It looked like it was just, as I said, meaningless gibberish. Until I connected it really with that by one offering, you've been perfected forever. So then I began analyzing each of the grades of the offering, and I had to write them down. And obviously, I spent a lot of time writing these down because they're neatly written.
Yes, they are. Like,
you should have seen the scratches that were my first notes.
Yeah. Do you have like a trespass offering chart thing?
I have one for every one of the offerings.
Wow.
But you're not going to get it.
It's too much. So you're saying these people on the anchor didn't repent, or did?
I'm saying what?
Well, I'm trying to get a hold of what you're saying here. The not seeing people, you say, didn't repent.
No, I say they didn't repent fully. So there was no emptiness, there was no abandonment of self, there was no seeing the day of Christ. They saw it partially.
But, well,
the same as people in here. What you see depends on the apprehension of the offerings. Because that is the only way you understand the fullness of the work of Christ. Once you see these offerings in their fullness, what it does, it breaks Christ up into little pieces that are digestible. Instead of just this. And you understand, you see in great detail how every possible situation that you can be in, the offering has perfected you forever in that situation. So what we see, what in the lower classes of the offering, what you see, the nature of the offering is invariably, it's exchanged for its effect on you, because you're still in the picture. What does this mean to me? Can you understand that every time you well, that's why what he said, now we see through the glass darkly. And what that means is because we see through the glass, and the glass is for normal for the world, the glass is a mirror. And so all they see is themselves. So no matter what they look, you know, where they look, no matter what's going on, the thought process is, well, how does this affect me? Then as you begin to see, because, and all that's based on self-redemption, and that's the silver on the back of the mirror. So the need for self-redemption, and it's always because of internal guilt, that you need self-redemption, then all you see is you, even in the scriptures. But slowly as you see, well, quickly, hopefully, that he is our redemption, there's no more self-redemption, there's no more concern for self, you've been bought with a price, then your self-redemption silver comes off the back of the mirror. And now you see, instead of seeing yourself, you see him. But in the lower grades of the offering, you may see a little bit of him, but you see mostly you. Does that communicate? Aren't you tired of saying, how does this affect me? Doesn't that get a little boring? Do you understand that you're trying to change yourself and change your behavior, you're still, every attempt at that, you're still, and especially when you expect somebody else to do that, what you're doing is you're still trying to get your self-redemption, and you're trying to impose that on others.
Oh.
Huh?
I just think from what I remember of our study of this, which I think this is probably the most important thing we've done, this apprehension of the offering, but it's the mention of the inner parts and disposition of the body come to mind as the most important part of the study, because once you've seen that, the rest is, kind of comes into focus.
Well, the reason I'm waiting, doing this out of order, is because the blood is the most important one. But you're right, from the ones we've looked at so far. And this is what I just said what I said, but I'm going to repeat it again. The offering is seen only in terms of egocentricity. Christ's person and work is viewed with the interest solely on account of what it means to me. Nothing is regarded as worthy of notice except its measure of bearing and effect and efficacy towards yourself. Even the gospel is preached as how it affects you. Hmm. That's so sick. The gospel is not good news to man. It's good news. It's the gospel. It means good news. But it's the gospel of God. The gospel that's good news to God. It's the worst news there is to the human race. So any look at the gospel in terms of how it affects me is egocentricity. You're still looking at the world as every other Gentile does, even though you got Christ in it. Now this stuff is available. I mean, my God, I'm dumber than a box of rocks if I can dig it out. But the only reason I did is the hunger was so complete. And I saw the cost instantly, and I didn't like it. But then the more and more I saw of him, the less I saw of me. And that's just the way it works.
When, in that scripture, by one offering, does it say you are perfected forever, or we are perfected?
You look it up. Hebrews 10. I mean, Hebrews 10, verse 19 or 20 or something like that. What do you think it says? It says you.
It does say you. Because he's writing to the Hebrews. I think.
Well, he's writing to everybody, but people think that it is writing to them.
It says, yeah, them that are sanctified. I mean, that kind of implies you, which is, I'm thinking of your egocentric word, which when you read this, I think you start there, but you don't end there. Because once you see him, you are changed, and your focus would be outward.
Verse 10.
Now, by the which will we are
sanctified. Yeah, we are sanctified.
Yeah, we are sanctified. Well let's I get it. There's some more important parts there. Let's everybody go to Hebrews 10.
I'm there.
Then why don't you teach, Ronnie?
No, that's not my position.
You remember, and the this first verse of Hebrews 10 is so critical. For the law, having a shadow or a parable of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers are purged should have had no more consciousness or conscience of sins. In other words, sin leaves you're only conscious of him. For in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. What an incredible statement. As the Christ, he's saying, a body hast thou prepared for me, Jesus. But it's Jesus the Christ, the Sonly, and the it's Yeshua HaMashiach. It means When there's the definite article, it means exclusive. And Messiah is the anointed, the Christos. There's only one anointed one. And so, what drives me insane is that people are still preaching, you know, the unholy quartet. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me. You're gone. Then, above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all. Now every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from hence expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now all we're doing herein and understanding is to see the extent of what that offering meant. And the end result is there's no more consciousness of you. All right. That's a good place to stop. Anybody have any other response? This, you understand, this is what we studied in 1987. Yeah, we went through it in 87, we went through it in 95 or 6.
Yeah.
And now we're going through it a little bit again.
2020.
It's interesting, by seeing this, the apprehension of it fulfills the offering and then it takes away sin. Because by the apprehension, you realize your death.
That's why the sin offering is for who you are. The trespass offering is for what you do. Now you can't, you know, again, if you don't believe in the fall or the effect of the fall, then none of this makes any sense. Anybody else? Mr. Josanna? Take a big guy.